What's happening, everybody, and welcome to today's edition of Swag Talk, the show where we cover the swag inside and out. I'm your host, Charles Wells, coming at you on this Sunday as we get ready to recap the Week 7 action. Two games on the schedule, two games exciting in different ways, two big victories by Alabama teams to set up a big matchup next week. So we're not going to waste any time. We're going to go ahead and hop into this. You can check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/swagtalk, twitter.com/swagtalk76, instagram.com/swagtalk, and swagtalk76@gmail.com is the email address. And we're also on YouTube now, so check out the YouTube page. It's Swag Talk Show. YouTube, you can search that. Go ahead, and when you do that, go to go ahead and like all the videos, subscribe to the channel, and click that notification bell on it, so you can get up to date information on anytime new content drops on the page. So we're gonna go ahead and hop directly into this, and we're gonna start off with Alabama State defeating Mississippi Valley 42-17 in a game that was for a good while closer than that score indicated. It was a typical game for Valley. You know, they hang around and you know, they give themselves an opportunity, then they make a mistake and they can't get out of the hole. And there was a couple things that went against Valley in this game. They had a touchdown that was overturned. A touchdown that didn't count because they said the quarterback fumbled going over the goal line, but that took some points off the board. And then they went for it on fourth down inside their own 30-yard line and didn't get that, and Alabama State cashed in that good field position for a touchdown. So, you know, those are mistakes that can't be made in a game, in any game, really, and especially when you have a team like Valley, who needs all the opportunities needs everything to go right for them to pick up a W in a game. So when you don't have the best of opportunities to start with, you can't really waste any opportunities. And I thought that's what they did. And I mean, you got to applaud the aggression because, you know, you come to win. So you don't want to just, you know, mess around and put yourself in a position to not win. But you got to be a little bit smarter too, and obviously time on the clock dictates a lot of those moves, and it really wasn't the time for that kind of move, and it did them in, and they just couldn't bounce back. So we're gonna take a look at the stats in this. Where we're gonna start off with the scoring summary. Valley got on the board first when Fernandez kicked a 26-yard field goal with 10 minutes and 53 seconds left in the first quarter to make the score Valley 3, Alabama State nothing. That capped off a 10-play, 66-yard drive, taking 4 minutes and 7 seconds off the clock. Alabama State got on the board in the first quarter with 5 minutes and 46 seconds left when Miles Crowley ran for 3 yards for a touchdown. Extra point good, 3 plays, 14 yards, 1 minute, 7 seconds time of possession. Alabama State led 7-3. 10 seconds left in the first quarter, Jelani Eason, 24-yard run for Valley, extra point good, 6 plays, 54 yards, 2 minutes and 55 seconds, time of possession, 10-7 was the score at that point. 14 minutes and 32 seconds to go in the second quarter, Wallace Corker, 59-yard pass from Ryan Nettles to get the Hornets back on the board, extra point was good, 3 plays, 77 yards, 32 seconds, time of possession. Alabama State led 14-10, which was the halftime score. 4 minutes and 59 seconds to go in the third quarter, Jeremiah Hickson, 15-yard pass from Nettles, extra point good, 4 plays, 80 yards, 1 minute and 57 seconds time of possession. Score was 21-10 at that point. Fourth quarter, 12 minutes and 59 seconds left in the game, Ryan Nettles, 14-yard run, extra point good, 2 plays, 22 yards, 27 seconds time of possession. And I believe that was that point where Valley went for it deep in their own end and didn't get it. Alabama State was immediately able to cash in for a score. I did skip one valid score, excuse me. With a minute and 45 seconds left to go in the third quarter, Malik Myers caught a 7-yard pass from Jelani Eason. Extra point was good. That was a 9-play, 75-yard drive, taking 3 minutes and 14 seconds off the clock. Made the score at that point 21-7. Then Alabama State scored on the Nettles touchdown, 28-17. Jahad Booker got the Hornets back on the board with 9 minutes and 13 seconds left in the game when he caught a 14-yard pass from Nettles. Extra point good. 5 plays, 71 yards, a minute, 43 seconds, time of possession. 35-17 was the score at that point. And then with 1 minute left in the game, Robert Rivers ran a 1-yard touchdown run for Alabama State. Extra point good. 5 plays, 22 yards, 2 minutes and 40 seconds, time of possession. Valley, 17 total first downs, 7 rushing, 8 passing, 2 by penalty. Alabama State, 22 first downs, 7 rushing, 13 passing, 2 by penalty. Valley, 169 yards rushing on 42 attempts, 4 yards per carry, 1 touchdown. Alabama State, 156 yards rushing on 34 carries, 4.6 yards per carry, 3 touchdowns. Valley, 17 of 29 passing, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, 146 yards. Alabama State, 22 of 36, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception, 310 yards. Total yardage, Valley 315 on 71 plays, 4.4 yards per play. They fumbled 3 times and lost all 3. 6 penalties for 51 yards. Alabama State, 466 yards on 70 plays, 6.7 yards per play. They fumbled once and lost it. And they had 9 penalties for 76 yards. Valley punted 3 times for 110 yards for 36.7 yards average per punt. They had 1 punt inside the 20. Alabama State, 3 punts, 113 yards, 37.7 yards per punt, 1 punt inside the 20, and 150-plus yard punt. Time of possession, Valley, 32 minutes and 3 seconds. Alabama State, 27 minutes and 57 seconds. Valley, 5 of 13 on third down, 0 for 2 on fourth down. Alabama State, 2 of 9 on third down, 0 for 2 on fourth down. Valley, 2 of 4 in the red zone. Alabama State, 5 of 6 in the red zone. Both teams had 3 sacks. Valley made both of their extra points and was 1 for 2 on field goals. Alabama State made all 6 of their extra points and were 0 for 1 on field goals. Jelani Eason led Valley with 16 of 28 passing, 135 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. He was sacked twice, had a long pass of 32 yards. Quincy Ivory, 1 for 1, 11 yards, and he was sacked once. Ryan Nettles for Alabama State, 20 of 34, 305 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. Longer, 59, he was sacked 3 times. Chris Scott, 1 for 1 for 9 yards. Miles Crowley, 1 for 1 for minus 4 yards. Jelani Eason led Valley with 20 carries for 121 yards. 1 touchdown, a longer 34, 6.1 yards per carry. Caleb Johnson, 11 carries, 33 yards. Long of 9, 3 yards per carry. Williams, 9 carries, 12 yards. Long of 5, 1.3 yards per carry. Jarius Clayton, 1 carry for 9 yards. Ryan Nettles led Alabama State with 7 carries for 66 yards. 1 touchdown, long of 53, 9.4 yards per carry. Ezra Gray, 11 carries, 31 yards. No touchdowns, long of 13, 2.8 yards per carry. This, man, he has really, like, other than the Jackson game, he has really not really had the kind of season that people expected, especially coming off of the Jackson game. His numbers have not been that good. So hopefully the last couple games they have, Ezra Gray will be able to step up to the plate and put up some great numbers, but they didn't need him today. Jared Daniels, 5 carries, 22 yards, a longer 7, 4.4 yards per carry. Ja'Cory Merritt, 6 carries, 20 yards. Longer 9, 3.3 yards per carry. Miles Crowley, 2 carries, 7 yards, a touchdown. Longer 4, 3.5 yards per carry. Grantis Poole, 1 carry, 6 yards. Robert Rivers, 2 carries, 4 yards, 1 touchdown. Longer 3. 2 yards per carry. Williams led Valley with 2 catches for 49 yards, longer 32. Jarius Clayton, 3 catches, 41 yards, longer 32. Ja'Cory Rankin, 8 carries, 25 yards, longer of 11. Malik Myers, 2 catches, 14 yards, and a touchdown, longer of 7. Donald Johnson, 1 catch for 13 yards, and Caleb Johnson, 1 catch for 4 yards. Alabama State was led in receiving by Jeremiah Hickson with 5 catches for 93 yards, 1 touchdown, longer 29. Wallace Corker, 3 catches, 80 yards, 1 touchdown, longer 59. Jahar Booker, 2 catches, 57 yards, 1 touchdown, longer 43. Grantis Poole, 4 catches, 22 yards, a longer 8. Terrence Ellis, 3 catches, 21 yards, longer 11. Michael Jefferson, 2 catches, 18 yards, longer 12. Ja'Cory Merritt, 1 catch, 14 yards. Jared Daniels, 1 catch, 9 yards. And Brian West, 1 catch, minus 4 yards. Keontae Daniels and Deion Reed led Valley with 7 tackles. Vaughn Meeswanyer, Caleb Brunson, Eric Powell, and Kenneth Martin each had 6 tackles. William Morgan, Devoyne Reed, Jerry Garner each had 3. Andrew Bloodsaw, Kyrie Lockley, Moore, and Williams each had 2 tackles. Tackles for loss, Powell, Williams, Brunson, Bell, Thomas, and Garner each had 1 tackle for loss apiece. Howard and Daniels each had a half a tackle for loss apiece. Sacks, Powell, Bell, and Thomas each had 1 sack apiece. Thomas, 1 forced fumble. Interception was by Brunson. Alabama State was led in tackles by Ershad Davis with 8. Culpepper and Rumpersod with 7. Isaac and Clark with 5. Scott, Foote, Whitehurst, Ogletree, Gaddy each had 4. Terry, Burgess, 3. They each had 3 tackles. Tackles for loss, Culpepper with 2. Brown, Tarver, Clark, Burgess, and Webster each had 1 tackle for loss apiece. Johnson and Ogletree each had a half a tackle for loss apiece. Sacks were by Brown, Tarver, and Rumpersod. They each had 1. Forced fumbles, Tarver, Rumpersod, and Clark each had a forced fumble apiece. And the interception was by Ershad Davis. So this game was pretty much the way you kind of expected it to be. You knew that Valley was going to have a harder time keeping pace, but they did a good job early of keeping themselves in the game. You know, like I said, week in and week out, Valley's defense is good enough to keep them in games for a stretch, but if they don't capitalize offensively, then they're going to fall behind, and then it's hard for them to get back into it. And they did everything that they could do to give themselves the opportunity to win that game. But they just could not get it done over the key portions of the game. So Valley's gonna close out their season April 17th at Texas Southern, and then at home against Alabama A&M on April 24th. So they have 2 games left. Right now they are 1-3 overall and 1-3 in conference. They are on a 2-game losing streak. Alabama State, they closed their season out on Saturday against Alabama A&M in the Magic City Classic. So that's a huge game. Big implications on the divisional race. It's pretty much winner take all, even though Alabama A&M has 1 game left after the Magic City Classic, but it's pretty much winner take all. So going to have a lot of eyes on that game. And you know, for a big classic game at the end of the season, it's always good when they mean something for the divisional races. So Alabama State is in pretty good shape right now. They're 3-2 overall, 3-1 in conference, and they're looking to keep on moving. Next game we're gonna look at was the only other game that was on the schedule this week, and that was Jackson State and Alabama A&M hooking up in Jackson for homecoming in Jackson. And this was one wild game. You know, it was a game that you kind of felt like you didn't really know what to expect from Alabama A&M because they hadn't played since March 6th. So you figured that, you know, some rust would be there. And, you know, that's always a opportunity for those kind of things to happen when you haven't played. And you know, you stepping into a huge game in the midst of all the action. But then Jackson was going through some changes. You know, they were on a two-game losing streak. And they were, you know, they made a quarterback change. So there was some questions on what Mr. Quincy Casey could do. And this game was defense very much optional. Alabama A&M never really looked uncomfortable on offense. And Jackson was surprisingly efficient on offense, especially with a new quarterback. And they found, at least in this game, they found a running threat. So that kept them in the game, and they just defensively though. Jackson is that's probably Jackson's biggest issue is defensively. The defensive line continues to be incapable of getting any kind of pressure. You know, they can't stop the run. They can't, you know, they can't get any pressure on passing plays. There was a few times Jackson had to commit linebackers to blitz, and then that left the other linebackers in one-on-one situations with receivers, and that was always a losing battle. I will say that a lot of people felt like that this was a matchup of the best secondary against the best receiving core. And I don't think Jackson's secondary really held their own at all. It's not all their fault, because if you can't get any push on your defensive line, then obviously it's only so long you can cover guys. And Alabama State has a very, very well oiled passing attack. And if you give a quarterback like Glass the time to throw, he's going to make the right read pretty much all the time. So even the times that Jackson State did have good coverage, he made good throws, or they schemed open guys. And they just, you know, I think they just won that battle. And that was really probably the biggest difference in the game. So Alabama A&M got on the board first when Ibrahim caught a 9-yard pass from Glass. Extra point good. That was a 9-play, 74-yard drive, 3 minutes and 10 seconds time of possession. Bulldogs led 7-0. Warren Newman scored with 2 minutes and 33 seconds left in the first quarter for Jackson State on a 6-yard touchdown run. Extra point good, 8 plays, 66 yards, 3 minutes and 29 seconds time of possession. The score was tied at 7. 13 minutes and 37 seconds to go in the second quarter. Santee Marshall for Jackson State ran 54 yards for a touchdown. 3 plays, 65 yards, a minute and 10 second time of possession, 14-7. 12 minutes and 14 seconds to go in the second quarter. Gary Quarles, 43-yard pass from Glass. Extra point good, 4 plays, 65 yards, 1 minute and 23 seconds time of possession. Score was tied at 14. 8 minutes and 4 seconds to go in the second quarter. Glass, 5-yard touchdown run for the Bulldogs. 6 plays, 48 yards, 2 minutes and 46 seconds time of possession, 21-14. 4 minutes and 32 seconds to go in the second quarter. Warren Newman, 17-yard pass from Casey. Extra point good, 8 plays, 53 yards, 3 minutes and 21 seconds time of possession. Score was tied up at 21. 3 minutes and 45 seconds to go in the second quarter. Zabrion Moore, 61-yard pass from Glass. Extra point good, 2 plays, 80 yards, 38 seconds time of possession, 28-21. That was your halftime score, 28-21. 12 minutes and 4 seconds to go in the third quarter. Odu Hilaire, 11-yard pass from Glass. Extra point good. 4 plays, 70 yards, a minute and 22 seconds time of possession. Bulldogs led 35-21. Daylon Baldwin got Jackson State on the board with a 24-yard reception from Casey with 9 minutes and 49 seconds to go in the third quarter. Extra point good, 5 plays, 61 yards, 2 minutes and 8 seconds time of possession. 35-28 was the score at that point. 3 minutes and 41 seconds to go in the third quarter. Spencer Corey, 34-yard field goal for the Bulldogs. 8 plays, 33 yards, 3 minutes and 2 seconds time of possession. 38-28. 14 minutes and 29 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. Ibrahim, 25-yard pass from Glass. Extra point good, 7 plays, 75 yards, 2 minutes and 25 seconds time of possession, 45-28. 6 minutes and 59 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. Warren Newman, 7-yard pass from Casey. Extra point good, 11 plays, 79 yards, 3 minutes and 51 seconds time of possession, 45-35. 2 minutes and 49 seconds to go in the game. Anthony Howard, 4-yard pass from Glass. Extra point good, 10 plays, 75 yards, 4 minutes and 10 seconds time of possession, 52-35. And then Warren Newman caught a 7-yard pass from Quincy Casey with a minute and 29 seconds left in the game. They got a 2-point conversion to Corey Reed. Pass from Casey to Corey Reed for the 2-point conversion. 5 plays, 67 yards, 1 minute and 13 seconds time possession, 52-43. Alabama A&M recovered the onside kick and ran out the clock. And that was your final score, 52-43. So, lots of offense in this game. Not much defense. And honestly, it was, you know, I will say Glass put on a show pretty much in this game. And Quincy Casey carried himself well in this game, too, in a losing effort. Defensively, I think Jackson's defense was really the weak link in this game. Alabama A&M defense wasn't that good either. They were trying to kind of cover for their secondary not being that good. So they tried to get a lot of pressure early on Casey, and they just sometimes they could get home and then sometimes they couldn't. And they also gave up a lot of run plays, especially in the first half. They got gashed on run plays because guys took bad angles, or they bit on action in the backfield and found themselves out of position. Because they had a couple of freshmen playing out there, and they just didn't really, align themselves right or keep themselves on point so they could make plays and find themselves out of position to allow for big plays. But this game, offensively, you felt like other than maybe a drive or two early, that Alabama A&M was going to have their way and do what they wanted. Because if you don't get pressure on a quarterback like Glass, and I think we'll look at the numbers, I think he did get sacked a couple times. But if you don't make him uncomfortable, then he's going to sit back there and he's going to find who he wants to find. And when I don't care how good your secondary is. I don't care who went where, who had offers from where. If you don't give them guys some help with your defensive line, then they can't do much. And unfortunately, that kind of hampered this matchup and cost Jackson State the game. So, they still, they still have some work to do. And obviously, they're not going to be in contention for the division anymore. So, they have some work to do on defense. I think Casey can be that guy if they continue to give him things to work with. And if they can continue to run the ball, because their running game definitely helped. It kept Alabama A&M honest to an extent. And they made him very comfortable. So it was, he still threw the ball a lot. 47 attempts is a lot. But it's something positive for them to take forward, and we'll keep our eyes out on that. So the Bulldogs had 28 first downs, 6 rushing, 18 passing, 4 by penalty. Jackson State, 26 first downs, 8 rushing, 16 passing, 2 by penalty. Alabama A&M, 93 yards rushing on 29 attempts, 3.2 yards per rush, 1 touchdown. Jackson State, 140 yards rushing on 31 attempts, 4.5 yards per rush, 2 touchdowns. Alabama A&M, 27 of 40, 440 yards passing, 6 touchdowns, no interceptions. Man, those numbers are just super duper crazy. I mean, that's Madden type numbers. And, he really didn't break a sweat. And he just, 11 yards per attempt, 16 yards per completion. Everything was clicking on point. And that pass game just looked so great. And, especially when you look at the last game Glass played, he threw 3 interceptions. To not have any against that secondary is a tremendous feat. But Quincy Casey also held his own. As I said, he was 30 of 47. 323 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. Both quarterbacks played really good in this game. Total offense, Alabama A&M, 533 yards, 69 plays, 7.7 yards per play, no fumbles, 10 penalties for 94 yards. Jackson State, 463 yards on 78 plays, 5.9 yards per play, no fumbles, 9 penalties, 106 yards. There were a ton of penalties in this game. Alabama's A&M's 4 punts for 163 yards, 40.8 yard average, 2 punts for 50 plus yards. Jackson State punted 6 times for 226 yards, 37.7 yard average, 1 punt inside the 20. Time of possession, Alabama A&M 29 minutes and 12 seconds, Jackson State 30 minutes and 48 seconds. Third downs, Alabama A&M 5 of 11, 1 for 1 on fourth down. Jackson 11 of 18 on third down. So that's tremendously better than their last outing when they went 1 for 8 on third down. Didn't attempt a fourth down this week, so they may have learned a couple lessons. Alabama A&M 5 of 5 in the red zone, Jackson State 4 for 4. The Bulldogs had 4 sacks, Jackson had 1. 7 of 7 extra points for Alabama A&M, 1 for 1 on field goals. Jackson State 5 for 5 on extra points, and they didn't attempt a field goal. As I said before, Glass 27 of 40, 440 yards, 6 touchdowns, no interceptions. Long pass of 61, 1 sack. Casey 30 of 47, 323 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. He was sacked 4 times, along with 39. Garrett Quarles led Alabama A&M with 16 carries for 86 yards. Long of 23, 5.4 yards per carry. Cameron Young, 4 carries, 23 yards. Long of 9, 5.8 yards per carry. Ryan Morrow, 1 carry for 12 yards. Santee Marshall, 19 carries, 126 yards, 1 touchdown. Long of 54, 6.6 yards per carry. Came out of nowhere. Guy was a walk-on before this game, so he really stepped up because majority of Jackson's backs have been injured. Warren Newman, 3 carries, 17 yards, 1 touchdown, long of 11, 5.7 yards per carry. Kimani Clark, 2 carries, 3 yards, 1.5 yards per carry. Greg Williams, 1 carry, no yards. Zabrian Moore, 4 catches, 114 yards, 1 touchdown for Alabama A&M. 61 yards was his long. Odu Hilaire, 6 catches, 100 yards, 1 touchdown, long of 27. Ibrahim, 5 catches, 94 yards, 2 touchdowns, 35 yards with his long. Jenkins Jr., 6 catches, 66 yards, long of 17. Quarles, 3 catches, 47 yards, 1 touchdown, long of 43. Howard, 2 catches, 15 yards, 1 touchdown, long of 11. And Young, 1 catch for 4 yards. Alabama A&M almost had 3 guys with over 100 yards receiving, so they really obviously spread the ball around. You know, they pass a lot and they spread it around. Daylon Baldwin led Jackson State with 6 catches for 135 yards, 1 touchdown, long of 39. Christian Allen, 6 catches, 80 yards, long of 26. Warren Newman, 9 catches, 68 yards, 3 touchdowns, long of 17. Corey Reed, 6 catches, 43 yards, long of 12. Colefield led the Bulldogs with 6 tackles. Trenton McGee and Kelly with 5. Amari Holloway and Armani Holloway each had 4 tackles, along with Joseph Narcisse and Marcus Cushine. He had 4 tackles also. Harris, Jackson, and McKenzie each had 3 tackles. Riley, Green, Struggs, Davis, Billingsley, Austin, and Russell each had 2 tackles. Tackles for loss, Russell with 2, Jackson, McKenzie, both Holloway boys, Colefield, and Cushine each had 1 tackle for loss apiece. Sacks, Jackson, McKenzie, Amari Holloway, and Cushine each had 1 sack. Jackson State was led in tackles by Keontae Hampton with 9. Berthley, 8, Miller, and Arrington with 7 apiece. Gladney, Adams, and Reagan with 5 tackles apiece. Holmes and Crane with 3. Tackles for loss, Reagan 2.5, Gladney 1, Berthley half a tackle for loss. Sacks, Reagan and Gladney each had a half a sack, and there were no interceptions or forced fumbles. So, like I said, if you like offense, obviously this game was for you. Both teams really put the ball in the air. And defensively, neither team was capable of making any stops to really do anything. Alabama A&M got enough stops in a game like this. It usually only takes one or two stops to give yourself an opportunity to win it. And I think they made a couple stops in the mid-third quarter to give themselves a chance to build that lead up. Once they got the lead to like 17 or so, they were kind of in control of the game at that point. But, you know, both quarterbacks put on a show. I think Quincy Casey really played well. You know, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how they handle this, because most people have their theories on, you know, Shadur is coming, and I ain't getting into all of that way to the fall stuff, because we got games to play in the spring, so we're not going to worry about that. But that was a better effort for Jackson State all around, just couldn't get it done. Alabama A&M closes out their season on Saturday against Alabama State in the Magic City Classic. And then they play Valley at Valley on April 24th. So those are their last two games, and then a possible SWAC championship if they win those two games. Jackson has a off week since they were supposed to play Alcorn on Saturday, but that game obviously is forfeit. So Jackson State will pick up a dub right there. And then they close out at home against Prairie View on April 24th. So the Prairie View game is their last game, and they're sitting at 4-3 going into that game. So they can finish with a pretty decent record, or a 500 record, if things go the way that they're going. But they definitely have some work to do on defense to get that defensive line to get some kind of penetration, because they are not making plays at all. You know, they really having to scheme guys and using the linebackers to blitz. And in that game, you know, you left your linebackers in a lot of one-on-one situations, and that's something that, you know, you really don't want to do, because Alabama A&M has tons of guys that can catch the ball, and they're going to make you miss, and then they're going to make you look bad. So Jackson State needs a on-field dub in the worst way against Prairie View, for confidence, really, because their season has been a tale of two halves right now. You know, the first three games they ran through two teams and they won a game against Grambling, and then the last three games they've been defeated in almost every way that you can be defeated. So they really need some on-field confidence, and Prairie View is going to be a tough task for them to do that, but that's what's going to be ahead for them in 2 weeks. Looking at the standings, Alabama A&M is 2-0 in conference, 3-0 overall. Alabama State 3-1 in conference, 3-2 overall. Jackson 2-2 in conference, 3-3 overall. Valley 1-3 in conference, 1-3 overall. Alcorn obviously 0-4 in conference, 0-4 overall. Pine Bluff leads the West at 3-0 in conference, 3-0 overall. Prairie View 2-0 in conference, 2-0 overall. Southern 3-1 in conference, 4-1 overall. Texas Southern 0-2 overall. Grambling 0-3 overall. So right now, the West race and the East race can honestly probably be decided on this upcoming Saturday. You know, knock on wood, barring no kind of COVID issues, because the schedule for this week coming up is Southern and Grambling playing in the Bayou Classic in Shreveport. That's a 1:30 kickoff on NBC Sports. Valley and Texas Southern play in Houston, 2 o'clock kickoff. Prairie View and Pine Bluff play in Pine Bluff, 3 o'clock kickoff. That game, you know, if Pine Bluff wins that game, then they win the division. If Prairie View wins that game, then that means that the Pine Bluff's next game, they need to win the division. Alabama State and Alabama A&M play at 6:30 in the Magic City Classic on ESPNU. So, nice slate of games. You know, two big rivalry games and two rivalry games, and then another game that's important for division standards, and then a Texas Southern Valley game that, you know, somebody got to win. So, the four games on schedule. Hopefully, all four take place. And that's where we stand right now. So that's going to do it for today's show. We'll be back on Wednesday to preview all those games and get ourselves ready for week 8 as we are entering the final 2 weeks of the regular season, barring any kind of adjustments to the schedule. So it's been a bumpy but exciting ride, and we're going to continue to take this ride. And like I said, we'll be back on Wednesday. So you guys have a good week. Stay safe and protect yourself. And we'll see you guys then. Later.